Joining us now, he's a regular on this show. He covers the Browns, covers sports in Cleveland as well as anyone can, from the Associated Press, Tom Withers. Tom, how you doing, man?
Good, Vic. I don't think I've wished you Happy New Year quite enough, so how you doing?
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I can never get enough of that. And happy coaching search, because what a crazy time of year this is, my man.
Yeah, you know, you would think somebody who's been covering Cleveland sports now for 14 years would be used to this, but I have to say this one's kind of taken on a little different twist. And one weekend has had no lack of storylines already.
No, not at all. And, you know, we'll start with the discussion over Chip Kelly, because that was the discussion that dominated the weekend. And when all is said and done, and again, everything that I'm relaying on this, that you're talking about on this, has come from what has been secondhand information or whatever information that's been dug out, I guess,
right,
without the club offering any details or confirmation of meetings and so forth. That is the policy of the Browns. They're sticking to that, and that's fine. But, you know, meanwhile, in the world of social media and everywhere else, it ranges from the ridiculous to the sublime, but probably very entertaining. I think that's the word. And in terms of the hourly monitoring of all that was going on or not going on in Arizona.
You're exactly right, Vic. It's been an incredible and kind of a societal study, if you will, and just the way people reacted during the course of what was just a wild 48 hours. I mean, we went from everything from the Browns having a deal imminent with Kelly to the Browns backing out, as some of us have reported, because of the hesitancy that Kelly showed about jumping to the pros after now flirting with jumping to the NFL two straight years. So,
right.
Yeah, it's been interesting, Vic, and I think what people need to realize, too, if we're not privy to the negotiations, if we're not actually sitting in on those meetings, everything comes second-handed.
Right.
And I don't blame the Browns for keeping things close to their vest, and I also do understand, because of Jimmy Haslam being new to this game and having a new relationship with Joe Banner and those two kind of hitting the road for the first time together to go through this process, I do understand and respect where they're coming from. However, it is my job, too, as a journalist, to try to extract information from wherever I can.
Right.
And, you know, the geography of this all made it a little bit difficult as well. But in the end, the Browns decided to back away from Chip Kelly because of his, you know, seeming reluctance to jump to the pros. And it looks like they were right. He's back at Oregon.
Yeah, and a few things to talk about here. Number one, with regard to you know, to the process, like as you say, not coming firsthand from the Browns. I mean, there are competitive reasons that it makes
Absolutely.
Perfect sense for teams to keep this close to the vest, and I mean competitive. Because you've got, at the time, it was, what, six teams were searching for coaches. Chiefs had already taken themselves out of it
right.
with Andy Reid. So you had six teams in the field, so which is now down to five because of Buffalo hiring Doug Marrone. So it still was a competitive and still is a competitive and fluid thing. So it does no good to tip your hand. All right, the other part of this is, as you put it, it's a negotiation, and if you've been in one to buy a car, to buy a house, things that maybe the regular folks of this world can relate to, as opposed to the multi-million dollar stakes game of professional sports, you know that there are different versions of what you're seeing and hearing, right?
Right.
And I think, though, the thing that does come resonate, and I think I'm safe, I feel safe in concluding, is because there was at least two other teams involved in interest in Chip Kelly,
mm-hmm.
that choosing not to go anywhere else, especially Philadelphia, which seemed to be that other front runner, tells me, as you said, he didn't want to make the jump again. He'd stuck a toe in, and I don't think if you're Jimmy Haslam, you're Joe Banner, you're not looking for a toe. You want all in, and I think you want to feel that right away.
Yeah, you want a guy walking in with scuba gear on. You want somebody who's ready to dive into the deepest part of the pool with you from the get-go. That's not to say that they need to come walking through the door, you know, wearing brown and orange and, you know, barking or anything, but you want somebody who you know is going to be fully committed, that there's no wavering whatsoever, and it just doesn't seem like Chip Kelly's ready to make that leap yet. I mean, obviously he became, you know, arguably the hottest commodity in the college game this year, and, you know, for all the right reasons. I mean, it's clear that what he's doing at Oregon, he seems to be on to something. He's on to the up-tempo game and spreading out defenses and the read option and all those buzzwords we've been hearing about all this season, and what we've seen, you know, being run in New England and in Washington and Seattle. So he's definitely cutting edge, and he's on to something. And, you know, obviously it was very intriguing to the Browns. They would not have, you know, made the commitment to speak with him as they did over the weekend if they didn't really, you know, see him as a viable candidate. But I think at the end of the day, you know, they did it their own read option, if you will, and decided to hold on to the ball for a second.
Tom Withers from the Associated Press joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So Chip Kelly, they move on from Chip Kelly, and he may, I wouldn't be shocked if he resurfaces again, and if he chooses the next time around to want to come into the NFL, someone's going to hire him, because someone there's always going to be that, I'm going to use the word desperate team, that very needy team that's going to want a talented guy, presuming he's still one of the hotter guys at the collegiate level and the bottom doesn't fall out on him at Oregon.
No doubt about it. And I think something that we fail to realize sometimes, Vic, in these negotiations or these meetings, interviews, whatever you want to call them, I think it's important, too, that, you know, the Browns have a chance to sit down with, you know, some of the brightest football minds that are out there. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not going to offer somebody a job, or if you have no, you know, if there's no real certainty that it's going to go forward with this person, it's always great to pick as many brains as you can. I mean, you want to learn as much as you can, not only about that person, but about football philosophy and maybe what they're thinking. Because you know what? Down the road, you may be across the sideline from Chip Kelly, and you want to have a little sense about what that guy is about. So, yeah, while it didn't work out with Chip Kelly, you know, I think the Browns have kind of circled back today. They're reassessing the candidates they've already spoken to. I think they're, you know, starting to set up interviews with, you know, what we will call this second wave of candidates. You know, there's potential to talk to some coaches this week that are currently in the playoffs. I think Bruce Arians is still a name that people not only know well around here, but a very well-regarded name out around the league. I think
definitely
we may hear more about him in the days going forward. So I think this is just a chance for everybody to kind of catch their breath after a wild weekend out west, and now we go forward.
Yeah, we've heard the other names out there. You mentioned Arians. Again, these are names that are just being reported in the media. Ken Wisenhunt available, of course, after being let go by the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Ray Horton, another part of that Cardinals staff, a defensive guy. So, you know, we'll probably hear, and time will bring us more names. And, you know, that includes, I mean, I think a conversation that could still be had, why not, is one that could follow tonight's game. The national championship, oh, by the way, being played. And you got Nick Saban, and we've heard that time and time again, affiliated with the possibility of him opting to join the NFL and specifically the Browns if he conquers yet another mountain, or if he doesn't, I don't know. But if he conquers yet another national championship mountain, that'd be four for him. And the other guy is Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, who's certainly put himself in good spot. I mean, I don't know necessarily. I've heard the reports, as you have, or read them, that says no way for Saban to come into the league. But we've heard so many different differing opinions on what he wants to do. Why wouldn't that still be a viable thing, right, Tom?
Of course it is, Vic. I think as soon as tonight's game ends and one of those gentlemen hoists that Waterford Crystal Trophy over their heads, I think that's exactly where the discussion begins. And I think it begins with both guys. And let's not forget that, you know, Nick Saban, you know, while a great coach, also has a track record of saying, I'm not going to be the coach at LSU and then winds up at LSU. I'm not going to coach at Alabama and then winds up at Alabama. There's no chance I'm going to the Miami Dolphins, and then he spends 2 years there. So anything is possible at this point. And I don't think, Vic, right now that there's a front runner for the Browns job. I do think they are, you know, continuing to assess the guys that they've talked to, and you mentioned some pretty good names. I mean, Ken Wisenhunt is a very well-regarded name in this league, and so is Ray Horton, an up-and-comer, and both of those guys also have pedigree with the Pittsburgh Steelers, which you know is important to Jimmy Haslam. So I think both Saban and Kelly will be on the Browns' radars. I do think that they will at least kick the tires there and find out if there is any interest.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly couldn't hurt, and it would be. And here's the other part of this thing. I'm convinced still, and nothing over this past weekend changed my mind on this, that Jimmy Haslam still comes into this with a go big or go home approach. That's been his mantra, not just with the Browns. I mean, that's been a big part of why he's gotten to where he is in life and in business, and it's impressive. And he's got Joe Banner with him, who brings all these years of experience. The two of them are not – this is the one part of some of this silliness of discussion in social media that I saw this weekend that was I was bothered by is the take that they're going out there sort of haphazardly. They're not. This is a very methodical, structured, well-structured approach. They know what questions they're going to ask. They know what answers they want to hear. And this is also not going to – if whoever doesn't take the job or turns it down, it's not turning it down because the Browns wouldn't be offering enough money to make it happen. They're not holding back because they're going to be cheap on this thing.
No, absolutely not. And I think, you know, to be honest with you, Vic, I think this has probably been what Mr. Haslam and Mr. Banner have been rehearsing since October 16th when Joe came into the building for the first time. I mean, they've obviously... You know, Jimmy Haslam did not take this team over with the mindset that, okay, I'm going to sit back and see how things develop. He's got a plan. And you know that they've thought about, you know, what kind of characteristics they want in the next coach. This has been very well thought out. These are two guys who have sat in on some of the most intense negotiations in the business world and in the NFL world that you can imagine. So they are very well prepared. You know that they're going to make a very strong case to whoever can't would. Whether it's a coaching candidate or a GM candidate, as to why this person should come to Cleveland. They've got a lot to offer, money being one of them, a young roster, salary space, passionate fan base. This is still an attractive job, and I've heard that thrown around a lot too, that people don't want to come to Cleveland. That's not the case when you're talking about one of the only 32 jobs on the planet. Of course, men who are at the top of their profession want to get as high as they can, and there's guys that would jump and give digits of their fingers to be able to coach an NFL team. So any idea that Cleveland is not an attractive job is just not the case.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% on that. I think that's 100% right, and we're going to see how this thing rolls. It'll be interesting. I think every day is going to bring us something new, and Tom, you and I are going to have a lot to talk about.
Which is a great thing, Vic. That's what it's all about.
It truly is. He is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Thank you, my man, and we'll talk.
Sounds great, Vic. Thank you.
We've got so much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.